Okay, please find a seat. Okay, as you may have heard, Andreas was supposed to teach today, but he called me yesterday and said that he had a bad flu, so I am taking his place. We have been talking about the different steps for recovery, and this is the seventh step, and next week Torbjörn will wrap it up. But I have a question before I continue. It seems to me that many of you have been here quite regularly for many of the steps that we've been talking about, and I really would like to know, is there anyone here that can say that this teaching has really helped me? I have taken the steps and I have felt change in my heart, in my life. There's been, something has been set free, something has been changed. Is there anyone here that can say that? Anything has happened, okay? Okay, there's a few. If not, we have to do it over again. It's just the way it is. Okay. Yes. The problem with any kind of change is that if we're not careful, we lose it again. The whole process of change in recovery is a jagged road. Sometimes we take two steps forward and one back, and two steps forward and one back. But in the end, we're still moving forward. So today we want to talk about how we can maintain the momentum and avoid what we call a relapse. So the step back, that's the relapse, okay? And that's a very, very common thing with the human nature, that we make progress and we make steps in the right direction, and then something happens and we fall back again. And those are the times when the enemy comes in like a roaring lion, telling us how useless we are and how bad we are, and it's hopeless, and we might as well give up because we're never going to change. That's exactly what he is going to say to us. So today, I just want to walk you through some steps that can help us to maintain what we have received and build on that. We want to look at two questions that are equally important. The one is, what causes a relapse? And the other one, how to avoid a relapse? So this is something that applies to all of us. You don't have to be a drug addict to have to deal with this kind of reality. So many times we have had a breakthrough in a certain area of our life, and all of a sudden, because we are not careful, we've fallen right back to where we were before. There is a predictable pattern that is always repeating itself. Those three things, the three C's. One is complacency. It means that you get comfortable with what you have achieved. You have a sense of victory, and now I don't have to read the Bible anymore. Now I don't care if I go to church or not, because I have just had a victory. So that's a very dangerous thing. Second one is confusion, that we don't sometimes remember how bad things really were. Now that it's better, it's all better. Was it really that bad? No, it wasn't that bad. And so we kind of fool ourselves and we get confused that no, this was a real, real problem, and it was the Spirit of God that helped me to change. But we sometimes get confused. And then we compromise. Sometimes we go back to the places of temptation, in our minds, in our hearts, sometimes with our feet. It's like the gambler, saying, let's go to Vegas, but we will just watch the shows. Most likely that's not going to happen. But that's, sometimes we get careless and we compromise. So let's look at this question again. What causes a relapse? What causes us to move backwards instead of forward? And there's some very interesting dynamics that we want to look at today. First of all, we are reverting to willpower. Going back, changing back. So Paul says this in Galatians 3:3. He says, "How can you be so foolish? You began by God's Spirit. Do you now want to finish in your own power?" That's exactly what happens. When we have a breakthrough in our walk and growth, we know it's the Spirit that helped us, and yet in the end, we actually think we can take some credit for it. We actually think that we had something to do with that. And so Paul says, this is foolishness. You started in the Spirit, and now you want to finish in the flesh? It's not going to work. Or in Zechariah, it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, you will succeed because of my Spirit, not because of your character, strength, or any other quality that you might have. So we can revert to willpower, or we can ignore one of the steps. We live in an age where everything has to go fast and instant, and we look at this, oh, 7 steps, this takes too long. I'm just going to pick out 2 or 3 that I like the most, and then we'll go with that. But you understand that these steps were all built on the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And there's something in the order, the way they were given, that makes sense. And we cannot simply just ignore one of these steps if we want to have success. But as I said, we are driven, and we are in a society and in a culture where things have to go very quickly. Or we can try to recover without support. You have heard me say that many times before, and I will say it again. You were not meant to live this Christian life alone. It was not designed that way. We were supposed to grow together in fellowship, in communion, as one body. And we need each other very, very badly in that. And again, this goes against the culture that we live in, where do it yourself, and I don't need anyone, and I don't have to ask for help. I'm my own man, and I live alone, I don't have any true fellowship. And so we try to sort this out on our own, and it does not work. So I'm still in my mind trying to get a handle on how we can change this. For me, the whole concept of community life is so, so important. You guys at YWAM, you experience that. You know, you're forced to live together for 3 months, and it's really hard sometimes. But there is incredible growth by having to deal with people that maybe we wouldn't have chosen to live with. And yet God uses them and the situations to bring true growth in our lives. And like I said, I'm still trying to figure out how we can solve this. But one thing I do know, coming to church on Sunday is not enough. Meeting with each other once a week is simply not enough. Even meeting together on Sunday and maybe in a small group, in my opinion, is still not enough. We need more of each other. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. 2 are better than 1. Because if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's too bad because there's nobody there to listen and lift him up and help him. That's from Proverbs. And then there's this very famous scripture in Hebrews 10:25 where it says, "Let us not give up the habit of meeting together." We use that often to remind people to come to church. Come to church, come to church, come to church. But it doesn't really mean that. In itself, it simply means to meet. Do not forsake to meet with each other. That's all it says. And it's not quite proper for us to bend it to make it fit the way we think it should fit. It simply means don't neglect to get together. Don't take it lightly. You need to get together. And so You know, if we try to do it on our own, it's a little bit like driving on the E4 and you're going maybe 80 or 100 and you take the hands off your steering wheel. You will go on for a while, but sooner or later, you will crash. That's kind of like it is, trying to do it on your own. It's like taking the hands off the steering wheel. Sooner or later, it is inevitable, you will crash. So in order to avoid relapse, we need each other's support. We become prideful. We've talked about pride before. But there's one aspect about pride that is very, very damaging. And that's the problem that we like to blame other people for our problems. And it's a little bit like the story of the man who comes to the psychiatrist. And he tells him, I think I have a problem, but I don't know what it is. And the psychiatrist says, well, I'm going to show you some pictures, and you just tell me what comes to your mind, and I will tell you what your problem is. Okay. So he holds up the first picture. What do you see? And the man says, I see a window to an apartment, and inside there's a couple making love. Okay. How about this one? What do you see? Oh, I see a lovely beach, and on the beach, there is a round umbrella, and under the umbrella, there's a couple making love. Okay. What do you see now? The guy says, I see an Indian reservation, and there's a teepee, and inside the teepee, there's a couple. Okay, I got it. I think I know what your problem is. You are obsessed with sex. Me, obsessed with sex? You're the one showing the dirty pictures. I think we get the message. Sometimes we project our weaknesses and our problems on other people. And of course, that will not help us to move forward. But now let's look to the practical step. Always my favorite, as you may have noticed by now. How then can we avoid a relapse? And this is really the step that we are talking about. And it's based on what Jesus said in Mark 14:38. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. These are famous words that we have all heard over and over again. But think again what Jesus is trying to say. Two things. Watch and pray that you may not have a relapse, that you may not fall in temptation. Because the spirit is willing. What spirit? It's our spirit connected with the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That spirit is strong and is willing to do the right thing. But the body, the flesh, is weak. And so we're going to look at these two things. Watch and pray. We're going to divide prayer up into meditation and prayer, simply because they mean different things. So watch means look. Open your eyes. Take a look at your heart. Look inside. And that's what we would call the evaluation. So there is, first of all, very simply, a physical evaluation. What is your body telling you? I mean, we have sicknesses that we have no control over, obviously, especially at this time of year when so many get hit with the flu and other bugs. But then there are things in our body that are wrong because of the choices that we have made. And so if our body really tells us that, you know, there's pain or there's some deterioration, then, well, it's good to look and get a clue. Something is obviously wrong. What's my body telling me? Emotional. How am I feeling right now? I think, especially we men, we tend to want to suppress that part of our personality. But we cannot suppress our feelings forever. So sometimes we need to evaluate, okay, why am I feeling so confused? Why am I feeling so angry? Why am I feeling so disappointed? Or whatever it is that you feel inside. You need to take a look and evaluate why. There are things that we can look at. It's called the heart check. H, am I hurting? Now we're not talking physically now, we're talking emotional. E, am I exhausted? Am I just emotionally drained? A, am I angry at someone? Over the years that I have served God in many different churches and denominations, I always come across people that have a problem with anger. And it's either angry at God, angry at the church, angry at my wife or husband, some other person, my children, or angry with myself. It's the reality that we have to live with. And when we feel this anger inside, it's an indication that something is not the way it should be. Do I resent anybody? Is there someone, when I think about them, I just feel they are completely worthless and I don't even want to spend time with them. I just really, really don't like them. Am I tense? Anxious, fearful. Now that's a message all in itself. We could talk for hours about that. And yet, that is the greatest problem in our society today. That's what I think every doctor would tell us. That's what people are sick from, is because they are tense, they are anxious, and they are full of fear. Let's look back again at what the things we need to evaluate. The next one is relational. And that's again what I mentioned earlier, but the question is, am I at peace with everyone? Or is there a conflict that I still have with another person that keeps me from maintaining my recovery? And then, of course, lastly, spiritual. Am I relying on God? Or am I really trying to do this on my own? So when we do this kind of evaluation, what we do is we celebrate the successes that we have made. But at the same time, we confess the failures that we still commit. But we don't ignore one or the other and say, well, this is not working. Or we say, oh, I don't need this. It is working, but maybe not as fast as you want it to work. Maybe not in the way you thought it should work. The next question then would be, well, when do I do this evaluation? There's just some practical points for you to remember. This is nothing out of the ordinary. We need to check ourselves at any given moment, like a spot check. So we just kind of look inside. When you feel the pressure building up inside, you're just really, really feeling tense and upset. And you look inside and you say, okay, why? What is going on? A good practice is, before you go to bed at night, to think through the day. Okay, how was my day? And again, we celebrate the good things and we ask forgiveness for the failures. And in that way, we can always have a check on really what is happening inside. And then many recommend that we do like an annual checkup, that at least once a year we get away somewhere. Maybe we book ourselves into a spiritual retreat, or we can do it while we are on vacation. Just take a day off somewhere alone on the beach or wherever you might find yourself and just, okay, be open with God and just really do a checkup of what's going on. But now comes the second part. So that's the evaluation. That's what Jesus said, watch. Okay? But then he said, watch and pray. And we're going to divide that up into two parts. Meditation. We've talked about that almost every time in this series. But I realize that many of us still have a problem with that word. For many of us, it just really, it sounds too much like another religion, doesn't it? It sounds too much like Buddhism or New Age or Hinduism or any other religion pretty much. But you have to remember that we had it first. We really did. Already in Genesis, it talks about Isaac meditating And then he saw the camels and he met his future wife. So you single guys and girls, take a hint. Find some time to meditate. Maybe you'll see some camels. And maybe somebody will show up that will change your life forever. So for me, this is relatively new. It was only between the last 5 and 10 years of my Christian walk that I honestly started to think about meditation. In a way, I had always done it, but I wouldn't have called it meditation. But let me hone in on that a little bit. I have a really, really good definition, and I want you to write that down. Put it on your phone, put it on your iPad, write it on your hand, whatever you do. But this is so good. Meditation means slowing down long enough to hear God. Slowing down long enough to hear God. And that means some of us need to meditate a long time. For others, it can happen within a minute. But this is really our sickness as a Christian body in this world. I remember I told you that story before, but many of you were not here. Dallas Willard, in one of his books, he tells the story of how they are sitting around the dinner table on Sunday after church, and the pastor is invited, and his own mother is there, an old lady. And so the pastor starts talking about all the things that God has shown him that they want to do in the church. And he just keeps saying, and the Lord is showing me this, and the Lord is telling me that. And all of a sudden, the old lady, Dallas's mother, in her 80s, has been a Christian for 50, 60 years, faithful. She pipes up and she says, "How come God never talks to me? I have a sense that there are some folks in here today that would say the same thing." You almost get angry when somebody says, "God showed me, God told me." You almost feel, in a way, you're maybe jealous, but you're almost angry because it just never, ever happens to you. Why doesn't it ever happen to me? Why only to them? Who are they that they get to hear God and I don't? The problem is that we haven't learned to become still. Everyone can hear from God. And not just, you know, every 5 to 10 years, but on a daily basis. And I promise you, if you take time and learn how to meditate on the Lord, you will hear His voice. You may not hear it with your ears, but you will hear it in here. And it's something we can practice. In the beginning, it may take a long time before you hear anything. But as time goes on, your inner senses are sharpened and your spirit is tuned in to the right frequency of heaven, and it doesn't take you very long and you hear things coming to you from the Father in heaven. When I talk about that, I keep dreaming about a place where we could have some kind of retreat where we can practice together how to hear the voice of God. I would love to do that so much. So we'll see what God does in this year. I'm hoping that we will have opportunity to do that. It's not that I'm any kind of expert on that, but it's just so simple. If I'm the Son of God, and if you are the son and daughter of God, then the Father wants to speak to you in a way that you can hear it. And so if you're here today and you just feel right now that you're really sad because you can't even remember the last time you heard God talk to you, don't let that get you down. Don't give up. He is talking to you. You just need to learn to hear Him. Don't think for one moment that He won't talk to you, because that's simply not true. So meditation really is what Jesus meant, among other things, when He talked about prayer. Watch and pray. Now, Satan He tries to stop that, of course. And he uses things like noise and crowds and hurry. It's like Tesentralen, all in one, you know. Right? Noise, crowds, and hurry. What better way to describe it? But that's exactly what he sends to us in our hearts, in our minds, in our emotions. He wants to keep us so occupied by these three things that we just cannot find a quiet spot. We just cannot shut off enough to focus on him long enough so that we can actually hear what he's saying. Those things keep us from hearing his voice on a regular basis. And now listen to Psalm 1, 1 to 3. Happy are those who are always meditating on God's laws and thinking about ways to follow him closely. They are like trees on a river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. How is that for a pep talk for your business? How would you like to succeed in everything you do? Yeah, of course, but it's not real. Well, then he's got a liar. No, he's not. There's actually a place in the spirit where you can be successful in everything you do. Do we believe that? We better. We better believe that. But what's the key? Well, the key is meditating on God's laws, on his word, and thinking about ways to follow him closely. What a promise. I think this is what we should teach in business schools. This is what we should teach in you know, where people prepare themselves for the future. Learn how to meditate and you will be successful in what it is that you want to do. It seems so easy, doesn't it? But how many of us, now let's be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us are taking time regularly, daily, to meditate? Not just a quick prayer, Lord bless my day, bye-bye, or, you know, thanks for the food, amen. Not that. I'm talking about sitting down, being quiet, and just waiting for him to speak. That is so counterproductive, isn't it? How can that be anything? How can that be good? But that's exactly what he's talking about. And I envy our brothers and sisters in Asia and in Africa, in some of the places that you have visited, because they find it a lot easier to do that, because it's always been part of their culture and they have been raised to take time to listen. But for us, that's almost a foreign thing that we can't even connect to anymore, because we are so driven by life, by culture, and the things that want to take our time. And don't say, I don't have time. The fool says, I have no time. The wise man says, I make time. That's not in the Bible, that's for me. But it's true. The fool says, I have no time. The wise man says, I make time. Because we all know that we will make time for what is important. You want to watch a hockey game? You make time. You want to watch the music festival, what's going on there? You make time. You want to go do something? Somehow you find the time. I think we will find the time to meet with God if we really want to meet with God. It's really that simple. I wish I had something more complicated to say, but I don't. It's really that simple. It boils down to that. And now, lastly, is prayer. And of course, we have talked about prayer many times, and we only have time to look at one aspect of it. Let me read these famous words to you from Matthew 6. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is on heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs that we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. And do not bring us to temptation, but keep us safe from the evil one. One thing we have to remember is that when Jesus said that, It was an answer to the disciples' question when they said, but Lord, how should we pray? They didn't ask, Lord, what should we pray? And therefore Jesus didn't answer, this is what you should pray. He didn't say that. He said, this is how you should pray. That's a difference between what and how. So we think that if we repeat these same words that we just read again and again and again, that then we are truly praying. But that's not really what Jesus meant. It was a model for a prayer. So let's look at it then with those eyes. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. So how do we pray? We pray by honoring God, by praising him, by worshiping him. May your kingdom come. It's a prophetic statement. You speak it into being. May your kingdom come. That's how we pray. Not just, Lord, if you like and if you have time, maybe you could send your kingdom to us. No, you call it forth. You call it forth. Do you realize that words were first given for creation, not for communication? We use them for communication because we need to. But the first words spoken ever were for creation. So we have some of that creative power inside of us. And we can call the kingdom of God forth. Let your kingdom come. That's how we pray. May your will be done in heaven as it is on earth. What a powerful thing. In heaven as it is on earth. What are things like in heaven? Perfect. Isn't it? So we are saying, God, make things perfect here just as they are perfect up there. That's what I demand. That's what I'm expecting. That's what I want to see. I want to see things perfect as they are in heaven. Wow. That's how we pray. Give us today the food we need. Sometimes we feel guilty asking God for things, but he told us it's okay. He told us to ask, knock, knock, ask, ask. You don't have because you don't knock. And so it's okay to ask for money. It's okay to ask God for health. It's okay to ask God for provision, for whatever it is that you need. It almost sounds wrong. It almost sounds like we are commanding God, give me, give me. But again, it has to do with the identity that we have. Father, this is what I need. And this is what I'm asking for. This is how we pray. And then we forgive. We ask him to forgive us. This is how we pray. Because we have forgiven those that have sinned against us. This is how we pray. And then we proclaim, Lord, do not allow us to fall into temptation, but keep us safe from the evil one. This is how we pray. Now, if we had the time, if we were at a spiritual retreat, I would now send you away for the next 20 minutes with a piece of paper and a pen. And I would say to you, now write your own Lord's Prayer. It's not about repeating these words. It's about learning how to pray through these words that are given to us. And so this is immensely powerful. And in case you haven't noticed, in this prayer that I just read to you are all the steps that we have talked about for the last 7 weeks. They're all included in that prayer. So we want to finish now. Torbjörn is going to lead us in communion. As always, you are invited to stay for prayer afterwards. We will meet with you over there, and we will gladly pray with you for any need that you might have. If someone's here that really doesn't know Jesus, maybe a friend brought you today, and you're not quite sure what this guy is talking about, but somehow it touches your heart, and you would like to know more, please come and see us. We'd love to share more with you and allow you to meet that Jesus that we are talking about. Let me just close in a word of prayer. We will have a time of silence where you can just for a very short time reflect on what has been said. And maybe, just maybe, you can make a commitment to God and say, Lord, I'm going to give it my very best to set aside time every day to meditate on you. And Lord, you know, I'm probably going to forget and I will probably mess up, but I will do my best. And please help me. Let's just bow our heads for prayer for a moment. Those that serve communion, please prepare yourselves. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We need your help. We are so, so hungry to connect with you, Lord. And forgive us for taking the most important thing so lightly. And Lord, it almost feels like we have forgotten how to connect with you on a regular basis. But we ask that you would come and help us now. Lord, you have manna for us every day of our lives. You don't want us to live on something that we heard years ago. But there's fresh food for us every single day. Lord, I pray that you would put your finger on those things in our hearts that may cause us to relapse. Lord, we thank you for the victories that we have obtained. But we also ask you forgiveness for the failures and for those areas where we still need breakthrough and healing. But Lord, I pray that as we make a vow today to set aside time and to learn what it means to meditate on you and on your word, Lord, I ask that you would take us seriously and that you would help us to overcome the weaknesses of our flesh and to really find that time and that place that fits into our busy schedules where we can meet with you and where you can speak to us again and again and again.
Ni som ska hjälpa till kan komma hit till mitten med bröd och vin, så behöver jag inte stå här ensam. Vi behöver ju varandra, sa vi. Ja, hej. Ja. Ska vi fortsätta be bara, förbereda oss. Och när vi har varit stilla nu så tror jag då att en del av oss kan ha behovet av att lägga ner någonting eller bara helt enkelt överlåta oss på nytt. Så var med i ditt hjärta i min fortsatta bön här. Herre, du är helig och du är fullkomlig och du har skapat oss till din avbild. Och vi ställde till det, och det är inte vår erfarenhet i vår vardag att allting är så fullkomligt som hos dig. Men du sände Jesus för att ge oss en väg tillbaka till full gemenskap med dig och för att vi skulle kunna umgås med den helige guden utan att förtäras. Vi tackar dig för att det finns en väg genom Jesus som blev människa och som bar vår skuld, som bar våra sår, vår smärta, vår ångest, vår vilsenhet för att öppna vägen till Fadern. Nu bekänner vi inför dig, helige Gud, att vi har syndat med tankar, ord och gärningar och underlåtenhet. Och vi ber dig om förlåtelse för Jesu Kristi skull. Hör varje hjärtas tysta bekännelse just nu, Herre. Då skriver Johannes i sitt brev att detta har jag skrivit till er för att ni inte ska synda. Men om någon syndar så har vi en förespråkare hos Fadern, och han är försoningen för våra synder. Inte bara för våra utan också för hela världen. Jesu, Guds sons blod, renar från all synd. Och har du nu bekänt så är du också förlåten i kraft utav Guds eget ord och löfte. Amen. Låt oss lyssna till beskrivningen utav den första måltiden som pekar fram mot den stora måltiden i himlen. Den natt då han blev förrådd tog han ett bröd, tackade Gud, gav det åt lärjungarna och sa: detta är min kropp som blir utgiven för er alla. Gör detta till minne av mig. På samma sätt tog han bägaren efter måltiden, tackade Gud, gav den åt lärjungarna och sa: denna bägare är det nya förbundet genom mitt blod. Så ofta ni dricker av den, gör det till minne av mig. För så ofta ni äter utav det brödet och dricker utav bägaren, förkunnar ni Herrens död till dess att han kommer. Herre, vi ber dig just nu att du kommer till oss var och en genom din heliga ande. Så att vi när vi tar del av enkla gåvor, av åkrarnas korn och bergens druvor, att vi i tron och i vårt hjärta får del utav ditt verkliga kropp och blod, inlämnad i en djup, intim gemenskap med dig själv. Så på samma sätt som det här enkla brödet förenas med vår kropp, så ber jag att du kommer med din gode heliga ande, stärker oss för ännu ett stycke utav vägen vi ska gå, och gör att vi den här veckan, flera utav oss, kan få nya erfarenheter av att det blev av att stanna upp inför dig. Inte för att jag borde, inte för att jag kände plikten, utan för att jag visste att det är bra för mig och jag längtar efter det och jag tänker bereda rum för det. Gör det genom din heliga ande, för själva har vi hittills inte klarat det här. Kom heliga ande. Kom heliga ande. När vi säger kom helige ande så är det ju egentligen så att han redan är här, men vi ber honom och vi talar om för honom att vi öppnar våra hjärtan för att han ska få komma till oss på ett djupare plan. Han har hela tiden väntat på att få ge oss hur mycket som helst. Det är så att jag har väntat på att bevisa mig nådig mot er, Jesaja står det. Men ni har rusat omkring på era hästar och vagnar. Jag har väntat på att få bevisa mig nådig. Så när vi väl stillar ner oss och kommer över den där cold turkey, den där avgiftningen som det är, att varva ner, så har han bara väntat på att få möta. Vi kommer att ha två stationer vid de här gångarna. Ni får ett stycke bröd som ni doppar i bägaren. Vill ni sedan vara ensamma inför korset i tillbedjan, i bön, så är det på högersidan. Och vill ni ha förbön av någon syskon så går ni till vänstra sidan efteråt. Jag ber lovsångsteamet att komma först så att ni sen kan leda oss i lovsång och tillbedjan. Så ni står vid, ja, framför predikstolen där. Och ni står.
tanke som mitt hjärta bär. Behåll.